You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
Last service, we went over some good stuff about, mostly it was from Matthew chapter 25, and it was the parable of the talents and how really what the Lord was saying, you know, there were those that heard, right? And to those that heard, much was given, and God called their hearing, right? God called their hearing, well done, that good and faithful servant, right? So, and that's an important thing, just as we, and I won't read a whole lot from Matthew 25 because probably none really, but when you know that the Lord gave to one five talents, and to another one he gave two, and to another one he gave one. So the one that received the five and the one that received the two, both of them received the same commendation of the Lord. Well done, that good and faithful servant. Because what those two did was that they heard. Right? That they heard. And you have to understand that, because if you don't understand, obviously, if we don't understand what our service is, then we won't understand the parable. Right? Because if we think that our service is something else, that God is going to tell you well done for some other reason, then you're going to think that, oh, what's a talent? And is the talent that God really gave them like a talent, and that they used the talent, and that God was well pleased because they used with what God gave them. But we know what it is that God gave us, and He put His word on the inside of us, right? And when we hear, when we do what God desires us to do, which is to hear, and to Him, that's why the Bible is very clear, that to him who hears, right, to him who hears, he will receive more, and he will have an abundance. And to him who does not hear, even what he has will be taken from him. Well, the one that received the one talent, right, it says that he dug and he buried the talent. And it's interesting that that's what the Lord talks, that is suppressing the truth, right? The symbol of him digging up the word and burying it is as one that has the truth or is given the truth and suppresses the truth. And God called that servant a slothful, wicked servant, right? And he was cast into the pit. So it's interesting just to put those things together. And then from Matthew chapter 25... Okay. So let's go ahead and go. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 and verse number 10. So if we know and we've understood, you know, and the Lord has taught us many times, you know, He told the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life, right? So we know that it is not the written word of God, the word of God that is penned, it's not that word that gives life. Right? Because if not searching it would be good. You can just search the word, but we're not searching for sentences, right? We're not searching for words that combine together sound like they can fix our problem, but we're looking for a person, right? Actually, a verse that says God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory does you no good unless you understand that you have the provider within you, right? What good is that verse? That God will meet your needs. Because you may be thinking, well, God will meet my needs because God's in heaven and God is good, right? So because God's good, He's going to meet my needs. But the thing is, what's missing there? I mean, God is good and God does want to meet your needs, but what's the difference between, well, God is good and He'll meet my needs, and what's missing there out of all of that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? Why will God meet my needs? Because God said, I've given you my own Son. How will you not believe that with Him who is in you shall I not give you all that you need freely, right? So you know that what you receive from what you have in Christ. So that's a humongous missing piece, right? That's a huge missing piece. The people believe that verse because they say God is good and God's going to meet my needs, but that's not good enough. That's not good enough because that's not a reason. That's not God has to have a just reason to meet your needs, not just because God's good, right? It's because God saved, right? And God delivered us, and God put His Son and gave His Son to us and delivered Him up for us all. So that's a reason, right? So it's a huge difference between obviously just looking at verses and searching the scriptures. So in verse number 10 of Isaiah 55, He says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither," it says, "but watereth the earth and make it look at what it says, bring forth and bud," he says. Bring forth and bud. So what he says is, just as the rain comes down and waters the earth, right, or the snow, and waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. And it's interesting that he says that it goes forth out of his mouth, right? It goes forth out of his mouth. The word of God goes forth out of his mouth, and the word of God went forth out of his mouth and became flesh, right? The word of God went forth out of his mouth and became flesh, and now the word of God lives on the inside of you. But it still proceeds from him, right? It still proceeds from him. So the word doesn't stop because he gave us the word of God. Now it's not like, oh, we get the word of God now from the written word of God, but we receive, right, all of the revelation of what that word means only from the voice of the Spirit of God, right? That's how we receive revelation and knowledge. So it doesn't just come because we read it and we analyze it and we try to understand it, but it comes from Him, right? Can I tell you something why that's so important? Because the Lord wouldn't encourage us then to hear. He would just encourage you to read then, right? Just read. Read until you read and memorize. And if you can read, right? Isn't that how you learn history? You read it and you memorize it. And once you learn it, you got it, right? But the Word of God is not like that. God doesn't encourage you to read and memorize, right? He encourages you to hear. So, because it's different, right? Because the Spirit of God is the one that speaks to the church. Bibles don't speak to the church. The Spirit of God speaks to the church, right? So it's important when you hear the Word of God, so is the Word of God. So we can get out of the habit, or we can get out of the so-called discipline, right, of getting up in the morning and feeling that we have to read, you know, a certain amount or a little bit. You know, if you read a little bit, you're kind of upset with yourself. If you read a lot, you're kind of happy with yourself. You don't really understand what you read. You just know you read a lot, so you feel good about reading a lot, right? But that's not profitable, right? It's not profitable to just say, you know, that I just want to read a whole bunch, but it's, you're searching, you're looking for someone. You're looking for someone to reveal himself to you. You're looking for someone to reveal himself to you, and that's good, right? Because he does that. But here's a good part where we're going. It's not just, and it's an awesome thing for the Lord wanted to reveal himself to us, but can I tell you what it is? It's that it's his knowledge of you, right? His knowledge of you is what is key, right? His knowledge of you. Because what happens is, the Lord is speaking to you, right? But the Lord knows you, right? The Lord knows you. And what we're going to see is that nothing is hid. Nothing is hid, but everything is manifest, right? Nothing is hid, but everything is manifest. So because nothing is hid and everything will be revealed, when God reveals himself to you, he does it in ways that he is profiting you, right? Because he understands what's going on in your life, right? He understands your needs. So because the Lord knows what you need before you ask him, and he said that he would meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. The fact that God knows your needs is critical, right? Because it's not just that God is good and he just gives you stuff. You know, like parents will give stuff, but they don't always know exactly what the child needs, right? But they give things, you know, and they just hope that, you know, it sticks, that they like it, right? Sometimes as a parent, you know exactly what your child needs. Other times, you just give them stuff and you don't even know what they need, right? There are parents that give money and possessions to their children because they think that's what their children need, but all their children really want is time with their parents, right? But they think that they can give them stuff, right? So they try to be good in that sense, but they think that they know how to give good gifts unto their children. But how much more then has our Father given us the Holy Spirit, right, to them who ask? And he knows what your need is. And it's important, listen, to understand this so you can have the right context and the right frame of mind as we keep going forth. Everything is naked and exposed in his sight. Everything. Everything is naked and exposed. So you can put on a face for other people, but he knows. And because he knows, what does he want to do? He wants to heal that, right? He wants to heal what's in your mind. He wants to heal that. Because it's broken, right? There are things that aren't working right. There are thoughts that we have that are not correct, right? So he wants to heal those things, and he knows. And he knows, and God never embarrasses, and God never shows himself forceful, right? But what God does is he knows, and what he does is, through his word, or the revelation of who he is, right? He heals your heart by giving you understanding of what you are already possess and have with Him. Every hurt in the human mind comes from something that they do not possess. Right? Something that they don't possess. Something that they think that they're missing. But the Lord, knowing exactly what you need, by His Word He meets and He comforts. That's why He's called the Comforter. That's why He's called the Helper. Right? Because He looks and He sees and He brings it right to what it needs. You know, I was talking to someone just the other day. And you know what medicine is trying to figure out? Medicine is trying to figure out a way to get medication to the spot in your body that it needs. That's needed, right? Because a lot of times, right, people take painkillers, right? But it's not like the painkiller knows, okay, this one is for the knee. So it goes right to the knee, but it's being spread throughout the whole body, right? But can I tell you the awesome thing about God? Is that God doesn't work like that, right? God knows exactly what you need, and He mends exactly what needs to be mended, right? He mends exactly what needs to be mended. So let's look at that. Let's look at that. So, I guess we were in Isaiah 55, right? So let's look at it again from verse number 10. So as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven and doesn't return there, but waters the earth and maketh, it said, bring forth and bud. It's just beautiful. Just, you know what's beautiful there? The effort of the earth. The effort of the earth is beautiful. You know what the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like? The kingdom of God is like a man who would sow seed and he would sleep. And he would awake, and he said, and he would see the growth, and he doesn't know how. Isn't that awesome? That's how the kingdom of God is. You don't have to worry about it. You know, I mean, really, as a church, right, as people of God, the people of God are so caught up with doing something for God and growing in Christ and doing all this stuff, and yet there's no care. God doesn't want you, even your growth in Him, to be a care on your mind. But just again, going back to the same thing, what He says is well done. Just hearing. Listen, it's important. The one that was given the five talents wasn't given five talents because God knew that he was such a talented individual, or because he was so awesome, or because he prayed so hard. It's because God knew that he would hear. Why did God speak to Abraham? Because God knew that Abraham would hear. Why did God pull Moses aside and call him by the burning bush, right? Because he knew that Moses would hear. You know, it's all that God is looking for is just people that will hear him. That's all. And the one that would hear, God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. You have been full of faith over little. Right? And I will make you ruler over much. Right? Right? It's just so good. So good. So he says, it makes it bring forth and bud. Right? The rain is what makes it bring forth and bud. The rain, people, listen. The rain is what makes fruitfulness. Right? It is the rain. It's not the earth. That's so important, right? It's not the earth that brings forth, and right? It's not the earth that does that. It's the rain that does that, right? He says, so shall my word be just like the rain that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. The earth won't accomplish. Right? The earth won't accomplish. What is the earth doing? The earth is just at rest. And the Word of God, right? We're just at rest. And the Word of God within us, right, accomplishes it. The Word of God accomplishes it. Men don't accomplish it. The Word of God accomplishes it in you, right? See, sometimes there's something deep in there, right? There's something deep in there. Deep. And you know what you try to do? You try to get it out. Or you try not to think about it. Or you try to, you know, think better, happy thoughts. Or here's a big deal, right? We try to distract ourselves, right? It's still there. But listen, distracting yourself to think about something else doesn't heal that, right? It's still there. And it's just going to wait for a moment to more opportune to come around again, right? But God doesn't want you to try to forget your fear, right? He wants to heal the fear. Right? God doesn't want you to try to forget, right, the depression. He wants you to heal. He wants to heal that sorrow, right? He wants to heal the depression. He wants it to be gone, and it's awesome the way the Word of God does that. The Word of God, it's just, listen, it's so good. We're going to get there. I almost got ahead of myself. But listen, so it says, but it, the Word of God, shall accomplish what I please. The will of God is done by God. The Word of God is Christ in you, right? The Spirit of God. And he says, the Spirit of God in you will accomplish what I please, not you. You can't. You can't accomplish what God wants, right? But the Spirit of God in you can accomplish it through you, right? That's good. That's good. That's good. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. It shall prosper, right? In the thing whereto I sent it. Can I tell you, you know how awesome that is? The Spirit of God is in you with a purpose. The Spirit of God is in you with a purpose. If we could forget our purpose, if we could forget our purpose and say, Lord, your purpose be done in this earth just like it is in heaven, right? And forget your purpose, right? Because the whole church is hung up on the purpose. My purpose, right? I mean, one of the biggest things that came up that made millions for this man was the purpose-driven life, right? Because people want to know a purpose. But if they could know that God has a purpose, right? God has a purpose, and it's not speaking anything against the author of that book. It's just, but the concept of that book is not what God desires, right? You don't discover your purpose. You learn, right, that the Spirit of God in you has a purpose, and we allow Him to make His will come to pass, right? That's a far cry from trying to school the church of God to do the purpose of God, right? That's a burdensome thing. That's a burdensome thing, and it will make people millions because everybody wants to know that, right? How can I do the will of God? And all that God is wanting people to do is just to hear Him, right? This is my beloved Son. Hear Him, right? What an awesome thing, my Lord. How unburdensome is that, right? That's the oxen with the vine on top, right? Just at rest, right? That's good. That's good. So he says, let's go from here. Let's go from here. Let's go from here and let's take a walk to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 21, and we want to put some things together. Yeah, this is good. This is good. So, Mark chapter 4 and verse number 21. So, can we do this? Can we just scroll up to 20 a little bit, right? Let's scroll up to 20. Look at verse number 20. And just because I want you to see what's there, and not to treat it as two thoughts, right? It's not the parable of the seed and the sower, and then now he's talking about a candle. It's the same thing, right? So in verse number 20, he says, and these are they which are sown on good ground. What's sown on good ground? The word of God is sown on good ground. Such as hear the word, those are the ones that are good ground, right? Those are the ones that God calls. You see, but forget about the ground for a second. That's what God calls good, right? A person that hears is good. Right? And that's an awesome thing. To know that God is pleased, right? God is pleased, and all that He wants you to do in His pleasure, right, is to know that you're already saved and God is pleased with you. And now what does He want you to do? What is the good service that God wants you to do? Because is God pleased with you? Yes. But let's not think wrong, right? Is there a good service, right, to do? There is, right? There is a good work to do. God is pleased with you, yes. Whether you do His work or not, God is pleased with you because you're in Christ. But is there a good thing to do? Is there something that God considers that He would say, well done? There is something that men can do that is good, and that is hearing, right? That is hearing, right? So that He can do what He desires in him. So he says, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. But obviously, see, it's very easy to misread this if you don't know the things that we were just talking about, to think that it is the ground that brings forth fruit. Because then people read that and say, oh, if I want to be good ground, I have to hear and I have to receive it and I have to bring forth fruit. But he didn't say you bring forth fruit. He just said you hear it, you receive it, and you bring forth fruit. But he didn't say who did it, right? But you are fruitful. But can I tell you how awesome this is? Here's how you know. Just obviously, we just talked about a lot of things, and that's partly how you know, right? Because we're allowing Scripture to teach us Scripture, right? And we just read Isaiah 55. But listen to what it is. This is a guarantee. This is not that it works sometimes and sometimes it don't. Men don't have guarantees. Men can't give guarantees. You can't guarantee yourself anything. You can't guarantee yourself anything. But there is a guarantee that's given. So when there is a guarantee in the Word of God, it's not men that are doing it. It's God that are doing it. And you know what He guaranteed you? He said that if you hear, here's what He guaranteed you. That if you hear and you receive, you will be fruitful. You will be. And how do you know that? Because He says His Word is just like the rain that comes down. It will bear fruit. And you won't know how. And it's not our business to figure it out. But you will. Just, listen, that's so good to really understand. Just you hearing, you are guaranteed to be fruitful. Guaranteed you will be fruitful. Because if you heard, anything that you heard about Christ will profit you in your life, and that will bear fruit in your life. That will bear fruit, right? It doesn't mean that if you learn that Christ is your healer and you receive a revelation of that, that you're going to be very prosperous in the financial arena, right? The things that you learn of Christ profit you in your life immediately. They profit you in your life immediately. And the first thing that they profit you, listen, before you ever see the side effect of what you know in your body, because the things that are going on in our mind hurt our body, right? The negative things going on in our mind hurt your physical body, right? But what happens is it affects you first in your heart. When the Lord ministers to something and He heals your heart in an area, right? It will be fruitful immediately in your heart. You'll be fruitful because revelation is fruitfulness in your mind. And your body will reap the benefits of that. It will reap the benefits of that. So look at what He says. So He says that such as hear the word and receive it and bear forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. But that's okay. Whether you're in the 30, the 60, or the 100, who cares? You're bearing fruit, right? You're bearing fruit. And the context there of the 30, the 60, and the 100 is just because some people hear more than others. That's all, right? But we hear. Some people hear more than others. So can we say that it is good to hear more? Yes. Yeah, yeah. The more that you hear Jesus, the better it is, right? But if you're hearing Him, good. There's no competition. Is it better to hear Him more? Yes, it is, right? So we got that. It's definitely good to hear the Lord. The more you can hear Him, the better. Now, if all that you're doing is hearing Him more and more because you want to beat Susie, well, you're not really hearing Him, right? You're not really hearing Him. You're just competing with somebody, right? But that when you have a desire to spend time with Him, and if you have the time, and that time is redeemed, right, as you spend time with the Lord, that's profitable, right? To redeem time is profitable all the time. It's profitable. So look at what He says. So He says, and He said unto them, so He just got done talking about what? And it's good just to leave your mind, you lock it in, right, to something, and you say, that's what you're saying, Lord, that's what you're saying, and then leave it there. Leave it there locked in, and He'll show you more. So He's talking about fruitfulness, and He's talking about how effortless it is to bring forth fruit. Now watch this. He said, and He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Now, part of what you have to understand there is that the candle is lit, and bringing the one that brings a candle is a lit candle. He's not talking. Obviously, I know we don't, that's not real deep, but you just have to kind of get it right. It's already lit. So he said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? So what is he saying? You don't light a candle. Listen, this may seem simple, but it'll help you so much. Listen, he says, you don't light a candle ever, right, to put it under a bed or under a bushel, but you put it on a candlestick, right? Now, here's the awesome thing he's saying. God does not teach you anything in your life if it is not so that that will bear fruit and manifest. It's an awesome thing to understand, right? God teaches you nothing in your life that He is not teaching it to you to accomplish His will through you, right? So is the water that comes from heaven that waters the earth, and it accomplishes what He pleases, right? So God gives you a revelation. He's doing it because He wants to accomplish what He pleases. The will of God to be done in your life. The will of God to just let it be done. And you don't have to make it happen, and you don't have to try to get in Holy Spirit mode to have the Holy Spirit do something. It's just hearing Jesus, right? And as you hear the gospel, as you hear Him, He will bear fruit. He will bear fruit. So listen to what God is saying. I didn't give you light. I didn't give you light so that you would not bear fruit. But if I have enlightened you, you will bear fruit. Right? So because to be set upon a candlestick, right, is the church giving glory to God. That's what that is, right? That's why the Lord said that there was a church, if they would not return to their first love, which is Christ, that He would remove them from their place among the candlestick, right? So the candlestick, the seven candlesticks, right? Because there are seven in a menorah, right? Seven candlesticks. And the reason for each of those seven, right, is the church, the seven churches. And the seven churches have seven messengers, right? And what He desires is for the church to be spoken, and that's why He speaks to the angel of the church, right? He speaks to the angel of the church. He's not condemning the church, right? He's condemning the angel of the church, right? He's condemning the angel of the church. And what he says, return, preach and speak to them, right, that have been enlightened what they need to hear, or I'll remove you. right? Or I'll remove you. So it's awesome what he's saying. He says that he sets you there. The churches that are set upon the candlestick, right? Upon the menorah. He says those that are set there to give glory to God. And that's what he says in John 15, right? He says that you would bear much fruit, for by this is my Father glorified, right? So it's cool that we understand that. How does that happen? Hearing makes that happen effortlessly. Look at what he says. He says, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Look at what he says here. It's interesting, right? He's talking about fruitfulness. Then he's talking about a candle. And now he says, look, for there is nothing hid. Why say that? What does that have to do with anything? That there is nothing hid. That there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Neither is anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Or that it should come to light, right? And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with the... So this is what we went over last service, right? That he said, take heed what you hear. So here's what you know. Hearing has something to do with that which is hidden. Because the context of everything that we're reading is what? Hearing. That's the context of everything. That's the good ground. The good ground in verse number 20, he said, such as hear the word. That was the good ground. The candle is the same context, right? Those that hear are those that magnify, right? Magnify the Lord, glorify God in their body, right? Because what? Because it is the word, Isaiah 55, that comes in, right? The word that is in us is the word that comes up, I should say, sorry. The word that comes up and out, right? Salvation that is worked outwardly and glorifies God, right? So then he says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. So, and there's something interesting that I want to read to you in this context so that we can get this. But look at what he says. For there is nothing hid that shall not be manifest, neither anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. So let's hold that. Let's hold that thought about that which is hidden for a second, because the Lord will show us that in a minute. But then he says here, so take heed what you hear. So what you're talking about nothing hid that shall not be manifest, and about hearing, he says, take heed what you hear. Careful, he says, what you hear, with what measure ye meet, with measure ye meet, or with what measure you hear, with measure you hear, it will be measured to you. So how you hear is how you receive from God. Hearing is how you receive. And we know that, but you have to establish it in your heart, right? That your hearing is your receiving from God. You, in other words, you cannot receive, it's really simple, right? You can't receive what you do not hear, right? What you don't receive revelation of, you cannot receive from the Spirit of God. If you don't receive revelation of it from Him, you can't receive it. Reading the verse, God will meet all my needs according to His... You can read that all that you want, and it still will not pay your mortgage. Right? It still won't pay your mortgage. But if you understand who it is that you have in you and how Christ being in you relates to the blessedness that you have that makes a man rich and that prospers everything that you set your hand to, and you allow Him to do it, right? The Spirit of God to do it, then you'll see, right, that verse makes sense. Yes, according to His riches in glory, because you'll recognize you possess the glory of God. You possess the glory of God on the inside of you. So He says... He says then, take heed then what you hear, for with what measure ye meet, it will be measured back to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So the measure that he's talking about and the meeting, with what measure you meet or the way that you measure, it will be measured back to you. He's talking about the way that you hear, everything that you hear is how you will receive, right? And those that hear, more will be given. In other words, the more you hear, the more understanding that you receive, and the more that you receive from the Spirit of God. It says, until you have an abundance. That's why that which the wicked servant had was taken from him, and it was given to the one that had 10. Right? To the one that would hear, right? Right? God loves it when we hear. Verse number 25, For he that hath, to him shall be given. Him that hath what? Understanding. Him that hears, right? To him that has understanding. To him that hears, to him shall be given. Right? He just qualifies you just like that. Lord, I'll hear. I'll hear. And if you will hear, you just qualified yourself to serve the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit of God will do the serving, right? The Spirit of God will do the serving in all your... In other words, all that needs to be done that we would call our service is really things that the Spirit of God does. And all that we need to do in our obedience, what is our hearing, right? Just our hearing. For he that hath, to him more shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Look at verse number 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, and he knows not. Right? He knows not. He knows not how. For the earth, it says, bringeth forth of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn in the ear. So all that will come from inside of you. All of that will come from the inside of you. Right? And it's gradual, right? The process that he's discussing there is not that you go, you know, from no manifestation of Christ in your life at all to all of a sudden this overflow of the Spirit of God that's uncontrollable, right? It doesn't happen like that, right? It comes first the blade, then the ear, right? So fruitfulness comes, but it grows. It grows from within you, right? But it's an awesome thing to understand that you don't make it grow and you don't even know how it grows. So a good thing to establish in your heart is to say, Lord, I don't know how you do it. Therefore, why would I worry? Right? If you don't know how he does it, why would we ever worry about how it's going to happen, right? If you have no control over something, what good is it to worry about it? You can't do anything about it anyway, right? So it's good just to establish your heart and leave it where it is, right? You can't fix your mind, and you cannot fix your heart. You can distract yourself, you can do lots of things, but everything is still as it was and as it has always been. Right? But if you allow the Lord to heal your heart, right? And you allow the Lord, and you just hear Him, then you know, this is one of the places, and I tell you, it's almost a little bit of a sad thing that really Christians do struggle so much with something simple like, Lord, where do you want me to read? You know, like something like that, like Lord, I don't know where I even start to read. You know what I'm saying? You just pray, right? You just come before the Lord, you just come to Him, and you tell Him your heartfelt desire to want to know Him more. And you begin to pray, and you begin to say every single thing that comes up into your mind that is of Him and who He is and what He has taught you. And you rehearse the things that He's been telling you, right? Because, I can get it. If nobody ever spends time with God, and people that come to church, you know, like once a month, you know, they probably don't pray, and they don't have a clue how to start anything with God because they don't spend any time with Him, right? But you all that know Him, right? Don't badger yourself with how to do things and find some kind of methodology to it, right? But you just come to Him and you say, Father, I just want to spend time with you, and I believe that I hear from you. I believe that I hear from you and that I have your Spirit. So you just begin to worship Him and to love on Him, and you know what? He'll do that. He'll take and He'll bring up a verse. He'll bring a context up in your mind. He'll bring a word. He does it all kinds of different ways. And you know what? You start, and you may end up in the wrong place, and don't worry about it, right? Because He's the shepherd, and you let Him lead you to exactly where He wants you to be, and you just trust Him with that, right? Because if we take that as a work and as a job, and that we have to always start with a devotional because the devotional knows the verse that I should be on, right? I mean, how silly is that? Devotionals have their place, right? Devotionals started me reading the Word of God, but we're not talking to people that are novices in the things of God, right? We're talking to you, right? So when the Lord is saying, just come to me, right? Take that to heart and just say, Lord, I'm just going to come to you. There's no method. This is not a trick, right? You just come to Him and you let Him shepherd your soul, and you just trust Him. Listen, we are people of faith enough to believe, Lord, my heart is yours, and if you're in me, surely, Lord, you can shepherd my soul and tell me and speak to me and show me things, right? And reveal things to me. And if I didn't even have a Bible next to me, you can still teach me, right? But it's good to know that, right? Just to trust Him with those things and to know that He's faithful to do them, right? Because He is. So it says that so it is, right? It says the earth brings forth of herself, brings forth and it buds. So let's come from here then. And remember the one part, if we can jump right back up quickly to verse number, where was it that we were? Verse number 22, up above there, Mark 4:22, and he said, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it shall come abroad. And you know what? And I was talking to the Lord about that. And I just told Him, just, you know, like I'm talking to you, and I just said, Lord, the hidden thing. You know, the hidden thing. So I get it that you want to manifest something. I understand that, Lord, but I'm not understanding what is that. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to try to figure this out. So Lord, I know that it's you, right? You're the one that does it, Father, and I know that you're coming in. So thank you, Lord, that you're the one that's in me and you're the one that produces the fruitfulness, Lord, and there is nothing hidden. And then all that we needed to do, the only place where our heart needed to go is what it is that he's talking about that he has given you, and it's your word that he's given you, right? And when he says that there's nothing hid, let me show you something. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 4? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1. And it's a little bit of a trail, a little bit of a journey, right, that we want to go on in a second here. But here's why. Because the essential thing that God is talking about in all this hearing and all that, because even hearing is not possible without one thing, right? And that is rest. Right? Because you won't just hear. You won't just singly hear if you're not at rest, right? Because if you're not at rest, you won't hear. And so, and you can't even, listen, you can't even put yourself at rest. Right? So here's what you do. As you keep hearing and we keep learning, right? You know that the desire of God is not to oppress you with you trying to do something. So should you be at rest? Yes, you should be, but you can't put yourself at rest. Yes, you should hear, but you can't make yourself hear. Yes, you should understand, but you can't make yourself understand. Yes, you should dwell on those things and think on those things that are good, but you can't make yourself do those things, right? So what is it that you can do? What is it that you can do, right? And the one thing that you can do is in your seeking of the Lord, just seeking the Lord is how you hear, right? That's why he says, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. That's where the road of hearing starts, right? It's coming to him, coming to a person. If we're not coming to a person, we're just searching scriptures. And that's not hearing, that's just searching scriptures. But again, when he says, come to me in Matthew 11, 28, that's a critical thing to know that you're coming to a person and you're receiving from a person. So to come to him, and we were, so many of the songs tonight that we did were all about him being in us. And Lord, you're here, you're here. And especially the one psalm that said, here now, you're with me here now. And then it kept making reference to you're here with me and your mind. You're here with me and your mind. And it's so awesome to know he's here with you. He's here with you. And your mind is what he wants to heal, right? If he heals your mind, he'll heal the rest of it, right? And he'll heal other people through you. But it's your heart that he wants to heal, right? So in order for that to happen, obviously rest is an important thing. So look at what he says in verse number 1. Because he's going to take us, listen to where we're going. He's going to take us from verse number 1, and we're going to end up right in the meaning of that thing that says, nothing is hidden from his sight. And you'll see exactly how it ties together. Because he didn't put it in there by accident, right? So look at what he says. He says, therefore let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Right? So what he's saying is, we that's something that we should desire, and we don't want to live in a way that's not at rest. That's not what we want. We don't desire that. So in verse number 2 it says, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them. So all of a sudden, so he's talking about rest. He's talking about rest. And now he talks about what? The gospel preached. Right? So he says the gospel was preached unto us as well as to them. So what is it that brings rest? The gospel of Jesus Christ brings rest. But not searching to what is the gospel, but the gospel which is the good news about Jesus Christ, right? About him coming to a person. So he says it was preached to us as well as to them. But the word what? The word of God that's like the rain that comes down, that proceeds out of his mouth. That word preached, because God did give gifts unto the church, right? He did give pastors and teachers and evangelists, and he gave everything that God gave an office within the church, he gave it for the edification of the church. Right? And if those that God has set don't edify the church with the gospel, he takes them out of the way. Right? He'll take them out of the way. So he says, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached didn't profit them. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith in Jesus Christ to those that heard it, right? So they heard beautiful things. They heard beautiful things being taught from them. God himself was teaching them, right? All the way from Genesis and Deuteronomy and Exodus, all throughout history, God has been teaching men, teaching them beautiful, awesome things that could transform their lives, but they didn't mix what they were hearing with faith in Jesus Christ. So our hearing has to be with our eyes set on him. That's what hearing is. If our eyes aren't set on him, then you will hear, but it will not profit. Right? It'll just be methodologies that we're hearing, and that doesn't profit a man. So he says it wasn't mixed with faith with those that heard it. They heard, they just didn't hear. And the not hearing, right, is not hearing Christ, not hearing the gospel, right? For we which have believed, which do have faith in Jesus, we do enter that rest. So that's an awesome thing to understand, that because if you say, Lord, I have faith in you, Jesus. Listen, start there every time and don't move yourself from there. That right there is the place of prayer, right there. I have faith in you, Jesus, is the place of prayer, right there. Because what you're doing is you're putting all of your reliance and all the work that needs to be done in your heart, in your mind, in your body, in your family, in your extended family, in your life, in your future, tomorrow, everything you say, right, you're saying, only you can do that. Lord, you within me, Lord, are like the rain that comes down, and you water the earth. And it will bring forth him. But you are the one, Lord, that accomplishes. You see what the Lord has been doing? You know, you can't think about this when the Lord was teaching us before, right? But what was he teaching us before? That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. Who is the only one that can bring to pass the will of God in your life? Only God can do that. So that should put us at what? It should put us at rest to know that we can't bring it to pass, but he will, right? Look at what he says then. For we which have believed do enter that rest, and as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, right? For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So that's important, right? Because even the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. So we know that everything that God needed to be done was done, and men could trust. From the book of Genesis, from Adam and Eve, they could put their faith, right, in a Messiah, in a Savior, in Christ. They could put their faith in God from the very beginning and reap the benefits of that. And it would profit them. It would profit them. In other words, the gospel profits us today. It would have profited the people of Israel if they would have put their faith in him, right? It would have profited them also. So he says, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Look at verse number 6. Seeing therefore that it remains, it says that some enter therein. It says, and they to whom it was first, again, what is he talking about? Preached. They first, which first heard the gospel, they which first heard the gospel, it says, they entered not in because of unbelief. So it's just faith. It's just faith in not being in Christ. It's just not coming to him. It's just not coming to him in faith that ruins things, right? But just you coming to him the way you do, having faith in Jesus, that's all he wants. You already have that. You already have faith in Jesus. You don't have to go get something else. Just exercise that which you already have, right? You already have faith in him, right? And the Lord is the one that helps you believe anyway. So he says again, it said he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken about another day? There remaineth therefore a rest. Listen, we're coming into something so important, so please stay with me here on this, right? So he's talking about rest and hearing. And in hearing there is rest, and in rest there is hearing, right? So he says, for if Jesus had given them rest, in other words, they didn't enter into that, but we have that. Watch what he says. It said he would not have afterwards spoken about another day. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased. Has ceased. Listen, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God, you understand what's going on? He takes you from rest. All of a sudden, now he's going into the word of God. What? People preach that without anything of the above. For the word of God is quick. It gives life. The word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. We are not. You cannot fix your mind. The word of God in you can fix your heart. You cannot. We are nor quick, nor powerful, nor are we sharper than a two-edged sword, and nor can we cut deep into our innermost being and heal the recesses of our mind. We can't do that, right? But look at what it says. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it is a discerner. The word of God in you, who is Christ in you. Listen, please don't leave. This is not a thing we're talking about. This is a person, right? On the inside of you, He discerns and understands the thoughts and the intents in your heart. He knows those, right? We're talking about a person, not a thing, right? Christ in you knows and has discerned and understands the intents and the thoughts of your mind. He knows when you say something, He knows why you say what you said, right? You may have just said something, and maybe people don't get that the reason why you're saying what you're saying is because you're hurting in here. But He knows that you said it because you're hurting, right? And He knows what you need. The Bible says before you ask Him, He knows what you need. Because very few people will ask God for what they need. Right? They will tell God to cheer them up. They will tell God to give them money. They will tell God to give them a lot of stuff. But they won't ask Him to heal what's wrong in the mind, right? But He will give that to you. Even though we don't ask, He will give that by the Spirit of God. He's given it in you, and that's what you receive from. So look at what He says. The Word of God is that which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. You see that word piercing? Like if you could imagine a sword going right through the center of your mind, cutting and dissecting your heart and saying, that right there is what needs to be touched right there. You know what I'm saying? That insecurity, that thing that nobody knows, that stuff that you struggle with secretly that you think that nobody understands and you won't mention it, as long as you play like everything's good, you believe even yourself that it's okay because you have forgotten it. But that which is forgotten doesn't mean it's healed. It's just been distracted, but it's still there. The problem is still lingering there, right? Listen, the way that something is healed is not by time. Time does not heal all things. The power of God heals, right? People think that it's healed because they forget. But then when it rises up again, big and strong, that doesn't mean it was healed, and that doesn't mean that we're losers, and that doesn't mean that we're no good. It just means that you didn't allow God to heal that thing, and you were just trying to distract your life from it, right? But it's not about distracting our life from it. It's about letting Him touch what's there, right? So He says, because look at what happens. It says he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Look at why nothing is hidden. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him. We're talking about a person, right? Unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, right? Unto the eyes of Him. So you know what the beautiful thing is? That it is the Word of God that does those things, right? It's the Word of God. See, the Word of God heals, and the Word of God does within you what needs to be done. So we talk about the Word of God manifesting great things and great works being done through you. Yes, that is the Word of God producing that fruit in you. It is the Spirit of God speaking. But also don't forget, right, that before any of this happens, He's the one, by the same exact word, that heals here, right? He's the one that works there, and He's the one that heals that. So we don't have to try to suppress anything. We don't have to try to act like everything's okay. We don't have to try to make believe like nothing's wrong, right? It's just coming to Him. And the awesome thing is, He doesn't tell you how to come to Him. You come to Him just like you feel and just like you are. And say, Lord, I can't fix this and I can't do nothing about this, Lord, but I know that there is something in the knowledge of You, Lord, and something that You've done, and something so beautiful in who You are in me that can heal and meet and comfort this thing to the point that I even forget it was ever a need. Right? To satisfy. Isaiah says, let your soul then delight itself in fatness, right? So a depressed soul needs to be able to delight itself, right? But if it doesn't feel like it can delight itself because it doesn't know where joy is, right? Because it's just all wound up in itself. But if you let the Lord touch that, right? If you let the Lord touch that, He shows you what is good. And when your heart sees what is good, it will run after it, right? It will run after it, and you will delight yourself in what He's showing you. So let Him be the one. Let Him be the one to open it. Let Him be the one to show it, right? And then it's awesome that He'll take and He'll heal that. and you'll forget about it, right? You'll forget and it'll be gone, right? But it won't be forgotten because now you're ignoring it, but it'll just be healed, right? It'll just be healed. So you can forget the shame of your youth, right? You can forget the shame of past things because they don't have to be there anymore. So having a revelation of what God has done in your life won't ever be stolen from you because something happens again or because you feel something reoccurring. You just speak the same thing that you already known. What you know will never be taken from you. What you know in God, listen, will never be taken from you. So when you know something and you feel something reoccurring, don't try to find a new truth, right? Just speak what you already know. And if God wants to show you something on top of that, that's good, right? But can I tell you something now? And we're going to close right here then, right? That's why he says, for nothing is hidden. He says, fear not. The Lord talks about persecution in Luke. He talks about persecution and those that are hated for the gospel's sake. And you know what he says? He says, but fear not, because nothing is hidden. Because nothing is hidden, but all will be manifest. And you know what the Lord says? He says in Matthew, he says, what I tell you in the ear, this is what I speak to you in the ear, shout it from the housetops, he says. But you know why that is? Because what the Lord teaches you in private is the fruitfulness that comes out for the world to see. For the world to see. Like it's being shouted from rooftops, right? But it's not that you really have to go shout the gospel, right? Even though it's good to speak it loud, right? But the good thing is that it'll be seen from you. It's like the candle, right? God lights the candle so it can be seen. And can I tell you something? He has lit your heart and enlightened your mind. And it's full of purpose. Full of purpose, and the purpose is already there. Let him bring it to pass. And things will try to get in the way to try to hinder that purpose. But here's the good thing. Nothing can stop. Nothing can stop the power of God in you. Because nothing is as powerful as the power of God on the inside of you. Nothing is as powerful as the word of God on the inside of you. Nothing can stop it. That's why he says, don't fear persecution. Because he says, nothing is hidden that will not be manifest. Persecution comes so that the spreading of the gospel ceases. But God says, don't worry. Because if it's in there, it's getting out. Because you understand what it is? Can I just explain one more thing to you? The Lord, it was not his time yet to give up his body. So they came to stone him and to kill him. So what did he do? He disappears from among them and walks. They had him cornered, right? They had him cornered over a cliff like, right? And he walks out. He has a body like me and you. The Spirit of God in him makes him so he walks out from among them and they didn't even see him go. Right? Listen. What I'm trying to tell you is that what you know about the power of God on the inside of you, nothing has the tangible power to make that stop. There are many things on this earth that can stop you. Right? Many things on this earth that the devil has devised that can stop you in your tracks and stop you completely. Right? But if you know that you are dead and you put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit of God, then you have become unshakable and unstoppable by the grace of God which is in you. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the purposes of God in you, that which God wants to accomplish through you, has to, by obligation and without effort, come to pass. And all that you need to do to see it happen is to hear. And if you hear, nothing can stop it. Nothing is. If you don't hear, right? If you don't hear, the rest is not there, and we don't enter into the things that we have in God, right? But if we hear, nothing can stop if you just hear.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.